You can put your finger in Matthew 22 this morning. You know, speaking of the marriage weekend, the Bible in essence starts with a marriage in creation through Adam and Eve, and also ends with a marriage describing the marriage supper of the Lamb in Revelation. So in one sense, the Bible starts with a marriage. It's going to end in a glorious marriage, and that's one wedding we do not want to miss. Yet we know that there will be people that will miss it. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. Amen. Knowing the fear of the Lord, we compel and we want to influence and persuade so that they can be a part of that glorious wedding at the end of the ages that we hear about. So the people that are near and dear to you, I want to encourage you to lovingly encourage them in the name of weddings. Don't miss this one. How many of y'all have been to a grand wedding before? I mean, just over the top. I mean, the food was amazing, the celebration, the dancing. Maybe you met your spouse there, who knows? But this is one you may have unsaved relatives and friends and work colleagues, and you want to just to pray and believe that they don't miss this wedding. My daughter, as y'all know, my middle daughter was just married this past summer in August on the North Shore of Long Island in Woodbury, New York. And a lot of people from her past that she knew growing up, some even came from Micronesia. But our pastor, Roland Gray, and his wife, Velma, who many of you know because he was here ministering, they came all the way from Las Vegas, and his two sons had never been to New York. So they were touring around New York and going through Manhattan, even though we were on the North Shore. And on the day of the wedding, they were still touring in Manhattan. And they were, I mean, they were cutting it close, but he thought he had it timed. And he got on a bus, bought tickets to go to Woodbury, got on a bus. And then a few minutes before the wedding, I get a text from Pastor Roland. He's like, "Oh, Taylor, you're not going to believe it. I am on the bus going to Woodbury, but it's going to Woodbury, New Jersey." I was like, "Oh, dude." And I mean, he totally missed the wedding because they were on the wrong bus. Now, how many of you know there's a sermon in there, right there? We could stop right there and just pivot and go off. I mean, they were flat on the wrong bus. Anyway, they did make it to the reception, which made me wonder, was that on purpose? No, but how many of y'all, come on, God's watching. How many of y'all have skipped out and you just went for the food? Anyway, so they did make the reception. And after the reception was closing out, I said to Roland's wife, I said, "Thank y'all so much for coming." And she said, "Oh, well, we wouldn't miss it for the world." And I said, "Well, actually, you did." Friends can do that. Pastor Roland and Velma were invited, but they had to come and attend on our terms. On our terms, meaning the right address that was on the invitation. On the invitation. So join with me, if you would, in Matthew 22. Verse 1, Jesus spoke to them again in a parable saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened calf have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners, the highways, the byways, and invite to the banquet anyone you can find. Can you say anyone? Anyone. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there was not wearing wedding clothes. Friend, he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, this is a parable. And we thank you for how Jesus, being the quintessential teacher, rarely taught without a parable, without a story, to help better articulate truth and to help us to understand what needed to be learned, what needed to be conveyed. So we just pray that you put a sense of urgency in our hearts this morning. Speak to us, we pray, and change our lives in Jesus' name. And everyone in the house said, all right, the original in the context of this, the original invitees were the Jewish people and nation. And upon their rejection of the invitation, the invite goes to the Gentiles and anyone who will accept. Can you imagine throwing a wedding that way? Where it's just like, I don't care, just anyone, that guy walking down the street, come, we got food. And so again, it was given to the Jews. They rejected. He said, bring in the Gentile, bring in anyone that will come, that my Father's house would be full. So I thought, how gracious, how generous, and how broad is our God. So it was a second invitation that goes out. And sometimes when you study royalty, there are multiple invitations that will go out. So there was a second invitation that went out to whoever will. Whoever will. And many times we read in Scripture, whoever will. Opportunity in the grace of God is widely offered, but must be accepted. Widely offered, but must be embraced and accepted. Listen, in God, none are excluded except those who exclude themselves. When people shake their fists, how could God? It's like no one is excluded except those that exclude themselves. When you think about it, why would he force someone to spend an eternity with him and their will is not involved and they don't want it? He'll honor you as a free moral agent, me as a free moral agent. He'll respect the will. It's a heartbreaking thing, but as we've said, he didn't create robots. In order for worship to truly be worship means that we have the ability to choose not to worship. We worship freely from the heart, amen, because it's right. And he's been amazing and he's done good things and we honor him, bless and recognize who he is. But none are excluded except those who exclude themselves. For many are invited. Can you say many? Oh yeah, many are invited. Many are called. Verse 14, but few are chosen. He has widely offered, thus choose to be chosen. Choose to be chosen. He invites, we respond. He calls, we accept. The invitation is his to give. The acceptance is yours and mine to take. We don't wait on God to do our part. The widely offered, whoever will, or as the King James Version says, whosoever will, is so amazingly gracious, so wide open, all through the Scriptures, whosoever will, whosoever will. What an invitation, whosoever will. How many of y'all here, you qualify for a whosoever? Yeah, whosoever will. Now, question, is God sovereign and does man have a free will? Answer, yes. A two-sided coin, one doesn't cancel out the other, both and. Whosoever, whosoever. The verse that is widely regarded as a central summary of the Christian faith is John 3:16. We all know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that, here we go, what? That whosoever believed in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So no exclusivity there. Huh? No exclusivity, but whosoever, my invitation is for all, anyone, gather them into my banquet hall. Romans 10:13. For what? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wow, how broad. I mean, God's not looking for a way to see how he can keep us out. He's looking for a way to see how he might redeem and save us. He's not trying to make it hard. Men can be funny about it sometimes, but I mean, his son is the sacrifice for us all. You think about the thief on the cross. He didn't know much. He had a simple faith. And Jesus said, truly today, surely you'll be with me in paradise. You know, he hadn't gone through the four spiritual laws. He didn't have any understanding of doctrine. He hadn't even been pulled off and been dunked. For those who think that baptism is salvation, which is not, it's faith and grace. Amen. You know, in other words, he was just simple belief. In other words, the door is wide open. Come one, come all. Why in the world would anyone reject that? I used to stand up on college campus and say, why would anyone reject this marvelous invitation? But how many of you know, some folk, they're just determined. They're going to stay in jail. But Jesus is the key. He unlocks the door and says, come on, let's go. Let's live. Let's have fun. Let me give you joy. I want to just get that stuff off you that's hurting you. No, this is what I know. No, thank you. So you can understand then, therefore, that he's going to respect that decision as painful and unfortunate as it is. People say, oh, Christians are so closed. They're so tight. No, whosoever. Amen? Whosoever. It doesn't matter the thread, the background, what they've done, what they've not done. People around the throne of God from every nation, tribe, and tongue. I mean, from every cloth, every color, every background, every ethnos. I mean, it's a beautiful kaleidoscope. Whosoever. It's so broad. So broad. He's looking to judge me. No, he is trying to save you, sweetheart. Trying to save you. And those that we love. Mark 8:34, when he, Jesus, called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, what? Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Revelation 19, we'll look at 7, 9, and then chapter 22 and 17. It says, let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come. Then the angel said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Chapter 22, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Whoever, there it is again, whoever is thirsty, let him what? Come. And whoever wishes, desires, let him take what? The free gift of the water of life. You say, that's just too good to be true. Well, yeah, that's why we call it good news. Our head can't compute it. If we're living up under the law, we just can't quite go there yet. It's the wonder and the beauty of grace and the kindness of his mercies, that while we were yet a sinner, he died for us, and then he justifies us just as if we've never sinned, and he clothes us in the garments of righteousness. And it's just kind of like, I don't know if y'all, did y'all ever see that Ryan Gosling meme? It was at the Oscars, and I think they called his name, and he was kind of like this. And someone said, what the thief on the cross must have thought the minute after he went to heaven, like, What? How did I get here? What? Who? Me? I mean, it's just the generosity of God. And we all should be like that. Who? Me? How? Huh? What? Me? Huh? Well, see, that's what grace makes you do. It just makes you worship. Really? You accepted me? Really? You adopted me? Truly? Really? You can pardon me and apply your blood and righteousness and now my righteousness, it's yours. The Father looks at me through the lens of your blood and your cross and your sacrifice. Like, who does that? A gracious, benevolent, heavenly Father. That's why it's good news. That's why we don't need to talk ourselves out of communicating this. We're thinking they don't want to hear. Oh, but it's good news. The freeness of the free gift of righteousness. The freeness of the free gift of salvation. It's so free. We had a banner in Guam. It was Jesus, period. In other words, Jesus plus nothing. You can't add to it. Take your hamburger helper back home. We don't want it. Jesus, period. He was enough. No more bulls and goats and doves and sacrifices. The priest going into the temple once a year, and if the bells weren't ringing and things, there was sin and they died and they'd pull them out with a rope. Thank God that Jesus now is our faithful high priest. And he went in and he applied the blood, glory to God, and satisfied the justice of his Father that we can boldly come to the throne room of grace. Now that's odd to me. The creator of the universe, all power is his. You would think, are you kidding? Boldly we can approach his throne. Yes, because of Jesus. Amen. We belong there. It makes us love Jesus more. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Let him come. Whoever desires, take the free gift of the water of life. Whoever, anyone, everyone, it's free. It's for the taking. Come. Come to the waters of life. Come to the altar of salvation. Come and receive the gift given for you. Whosoever will. Why would we not? Why would anyone not? God enables, he invites, but we must desire and accept. You know, maybe your experience is different, but normally we don't pay to attend a wedding, do you? I've never paid to attend one. I mean, normally the parent pays, correct? Father pays. A wedding banquet, a reception, a wedding feast is usually bountiful, joyful, and free. Singing, dancing, great enjoyment, all at another's expense. Come, the banquet is prepared, the table is set. In the gospel, the Father is so ready to accept us, the Son to intercede for us, and the Spirit to sanctify us. The table is set. Grace is ready. Forgiveness, it's ready. It's now, it's today. Adoption is now, it's ready. Peace that passes understanding, that holds us as an anchor, it's ready. The promises are ready. The wells of living water are ready. Heaven is ready. We have a kingdom prepared. Why then would anyone be unready? I mean, it boggles the mind, does it not? It boggles the mind. I told you all about going to a mission trip in 1985 to Australia, Sydney, Australia, the University of Sydney. And I was talking to this young man about God, and he wasn't quite ready. And the Bible does say count the cost. So he wasn't quite ready. I said, well, why don't you just hang out with me this afternoon? And he would hang out, and I would debate with, you know, atheists or agnostics or some that just weren't interested. And he'd look at me and listen to me, and then he'd listen to them. Then he'd listen to me, and then he'd listen to them. By the end of that day, he said, all those things those guys said were ridiculous. It made no sense at all. I'm ready. I mean, it's just logical. It's rational. It's right. Amen. And so many times it's merely for the hearing. I mean, he was going back and forth. It was like ping pong, just back and forth. He said, just pure logic and common sense. Every argument, every straw man argument, every red herring, everything they were hiding behind, it was merely an air bubble. I'm not going to serve God because ABC fill in the blank. Really? You're going to risk eternity for that argument? Really? Really? I got hurt. Well, take a ticket and stand in line. Some people disappointing me. The church disappointing me. There are too many hypocrites. Okay, so what you're saying is you're going to reject Jesus' cross and his blood and spend an eternity in hell with all those hypocrites you declare you hate. I mean, you know, it's just dumb to reject the grace, the kindness, and the mercy of the Lord. Oh, won't you come to the waters? Come to the waters of salvation. It's for everyone. It's free. It's ready. In the Matthew 22 text, we read, it said, one went off to his field, another to his business. So you probably had farmers and merchants in this context. One went off to his field, another to his business. No urgency. They paid no attention, went their way. Other things to do. But hey, the invitation was real, and God and his son were on the record. I attended a funeral yesterday, and Ann Graham Lotz was there. Billy Graham's daughter was there. And she shared a few words at the memorial. And she told a story of how years ago, she had been invited to the White House to have breakfast, among others, with the president. And she was told which gate she was to be at what time. Which gate and at what time. She said she pulled up to the designated gate at the designated time and gave the attending guard her name. And he picked up his clipboard and scrolled down his list, and he found her name, and he waved her on in. She said the reason she was let in is that because she was faithful to RSVP. The reason she was let in is because she was faithful to RSVP. Had she not done that, her name would not have been on the list. And he could not have waved her in. She could have said, but sir, here's my invitation. Here's my invitation. And she said, well, that and a bus ticket will get you right on a bus. I mean, it's like, fine, but your name's not on the list. Why did you not act? Why did you not respond? But her name was on the list. But the mere invitation is neither here nor there. The invitation has gone out. It's gone wide. Go into the streets, go into the highways and the byway. Dear me, we have so much gospel in America, especially in the South. So much gospel. I think that the judgment based on the measure we have must be higher because there's so much opportunity. So much opportunity. Sometimes we are convinced, oh, people don't, because it is out there, people have already heard. Well, you'd be surprised. There's still those that have not. Y'all know my story when I was at school was a bit of a rowdy fraternity boy. And, I actually got back in there and got to preach after I got right with the Lord and got through several fraternities and sororities to give my story, testimony. But my old roommate, I had an old rowdy roommate that went to prep school and came to NC State, and I'd walk in at night and the lights would be off and kick over his bong, that nasty bong water all over. It was no way to live. But anyway, I can remember like a few years ago seeing him in Wilmington where he lives now. And he said, way back then, he said, you always preached to the other guys, but you never preached to me. I mean, isn't that amazing that someone would think that? Most of the time it's like, don't come. You go talk to someone else. I don't want that. And here he was. I was blown away, feeling almost like rejected. You were always preaching, but you never preached to me. And it was kind of like, well, come on over here in my car. And I had a CD from a sermon. I said, you listen to that. I'm going to be your drug dealer. I'm going to keep it coming. I'm going to keep the contraband coming. But so there is a lot of opportunity. That's true. Two things can be true at the same time. There is. And so I think there's a stricter accountability. Having said that, there's still many, though, that have not heard. But we have to be convinced that, it's the greatest story in the world. And it's so free, it's so marvelous. That's our motivation. Receiving the invitation isn't the same as acting on it, though. Many have received. You see, we've all been mailed, been given the invitation. Also, your friends, family members, work colleagues, neighbors, etc. Oh, yeah, they're all invited. But have they RSVP'd? 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 3 through 4, we know God's heart. We're not confused about God's heart. There's no ambiguity. There's no murky opaqueness concerning his heart and intention. He said, I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for whom? For whom? for everyone. Then he talks about rulers and kings, etc. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants what? All men to be what? Saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Very crystal clear. What's his intent? That all would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's his intention. Nothing sadder than people waiting at the gate with full awareness of an invitation extended, but no acceptance. All along, though, it was whosoever will. It's so easy. He has knocked the hurdle down through Jesus. Jesus made it easy to come. Man can make it hard with religiosity. Jesus made it easy. He lowered the bar. Come one, come all, you see. I was just reading this past week in Matthew 25 about hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. I mean, people created in God's image have no business there. And the invitation has clearly been extended. Whosoever, someone will foo-foo the invitation, reject it. But it doesn't have to be you. It doesn't have to be me. Someone will harden their heart, but it doesn't have to be you. It doesn't have to be me. Someone won't RSVP, but it doesn't have to be you. It doesn't have to be me. Someone will get on the bus going in the wrong direction, but it doesn't have to be you. It doesn't have to be me. Many are invited. Many are called. Few are chosen. Choose to be chosen. Encourage your extended family, your workmates, your neighbors. Choose to be chosen. The invitation is broad. Choose to be chosen. Now, I know I'm talking to a room full of Christians, but this also applies to our calling, to Christian service, to laying our lives down for others. It applies to stepping up and stepping in. It applies to giving, mentoring, involvement, sacrifice, faithful action, obedience, participating versus spectating, leading the Bible study, opening the home, going on the missions trip, seeing a need and taking the lead, engaging the neighbor, extending the invite. You know, spiritual gifts, people can be funny, but in 1 Corinthians 14, it says, yeah, follow the way of love, but eagerly desire spiritual gifts. It's for the taking. You got to want it. You got to ask. How did you get saved? You ask. How did you get filled with the Holy Spirit? You ask. You got to want it. Got to be hungry. Leading, 1 Timothy 3, he who aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. The desire. Answer the call. After salvation, God leads us on our faith walk and journey and assignment. But going back to Matthew 22, the context there is salvation, being dressed in his righteousness versus works or any other path. Remember the man not dressed with his proper wedding clothes, he was thrown out. We all have family, friends, neighbors, work colleagues, etc. Not yet in the faith. They're on the wrong bus. They've not, yes, RSVP'd. And I want us to do 1 Timothy 2 that I read earlier, that first of all, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone that is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. We've shared this before, but I think it's a good practice because sometimes we picked up a practice and sometimes we let it down. Amen. Sometimes it's kind of like in the gym. Sometimes you'll pick up a dumbbell, but you put it down and go on to something else. I mean, you know, you'll pick up something that's really a good practice, and then before you know it, you've kind of put it down and gone on to other things. But just in view of what we're talking about today, we used to have a practice, and we encouraged it for decades, that everyone would have a top 10 list. Remember David Letterman had his top 10 list? But that every believer would have a top 10 list and even maybe create a bookmark with the names listed. You could cut out from poster board or construction paper and make your own little homemade marker to go in your Bible or a book you're reading, and just begin to list people that family, neighbors, work colleagues that don't yet know the Lord. And maybe the invitation has come, but they've not yet RSVP'd. They've not yet responded. I think in the Philippines they call it the VIP list, right? The VIP list, yeah, the VIP list. So anyway, I encourage us to pick that back up. And just as a little workshop so that it won't be lost and leaving here today and going to get lunch. And maybe you can only come up with five, but on your paper or on your phone, just begin right now just to list some names of some people. It's like they need to come in. I believe they've heard, but they've not accepted. They're on the wrong bus. Just do that for a minute or two before we close out here. And again, maybe we've done it in the past and just kind of dropped it, but I'm telling you, prayer works. Prayer works. I told y'all about my nephew who's now serving the Lord. I mean, he's hot for God. And I wanted to ask him, what have you done with my nephew? I mean, he turned on a dime, but there was a lot of prayer stored up from the grandmamas. Amen. I tell you, you cannot outrun the prayers of mama. Okay, you cannot outrun those prayers. It's a good air campaign where you're just dropping the bombs from the air. That's intercession, which weakens the ground so that when the gospel goes forth, the heart is tender. There's already been stored up prayer. It's not a cold call. Amen. I'm telling you, prayer shapes the heart. It tenderizes the human spirit. It opens us so that the gift of repentance can come and a decision can be made. So just sketch down a few names. They are not beyond the grace of God. They are not beyond the kindness of God. You say, dear me, I prayed for this person a lot. It's okay. Pray for him again. Paul said, I am in labor again until Christ is formed in you. He labored firstly when they got saved and then labored again for their sanctification. I am in labor again. He knew what it was. He knew what it was like to travail, to birth, to lay hold of the horns of the altar, to plead. Moses did it. Oh, if they're just 10 righteous, God, spare Sodom. Oh, if they're just 10. Intercession is some of the most loving behavior and action that we can walk out in regards to others. I also want to encourage you, as was mentioned earlier, Pastor George will stay over for Sunday. It won't have anything to do with the marriage seminar, but he is going to preach. And my man does have some preach on him. Think about who you can invite, who you can bring to sit up under the word. When I first started going to a church, I would sit on the back row with one foot out the door. I thought, if this thing gets too weird, I'm out of here. And I kept being invited. My mother was inviting me, and I'd sit on the back row with one foot out, and I would leave, and I'd go to the bar. You know, I'd leave, sit, and listen, and then I'd go bar hop and go party, and this was back in my college years, until finally, after a while, I started thinking, you know what they're saying makes sense. It just flat makes sense, and the nickel dropped. But I had to be positioned there sitting, listening, so that I could hear, so that faith could be ignited, and then all of a sudden, God did the miracle in the hearing. And that's why our presentation is important. That's why your invitation is important. Amen. Hallelujah. Just put your hand on that list. Maybe it's your phone you type in. Lord, we just start right now. We just pray for these right now. Lord, maybe like my friend in New York, Lord, he received the invitation, but he got on the wrong bus. Oh, me. Lord, a lot of people, they're on a wrong path, a wrong trajectory, but you can change that. You can change it, oh God. You can change it. You can turn them. You can turn their captivity. You can tenderize their heart. And Lord, for those that have never heard, certainly, God, we ask you for opportunity there. And Lord, we know it's easy to be weary in view of the hard cases, but it's no match for your love. We just pray right now, these names that we have on our paper and on our phones, we just ask you, Spirit of grace, dissolve the hardness right now. Melt and thaw the stony heart and grant them a heart of flesh. And we just call forth a whole generation of whosoever. We just see it in the eyes of our faith. A whole generation, oh God, of whosoever. In the name of Jesus, we call them forth. In the name of the Lord, we pray for these names. People you died for, people you love.